a candidate, though, in the new state Senate district. And what I wanted to ask you about, first off, Assemblyman Amador, is I noticed from YNN and other news media today that, as you, I'm sure, are well aware, the state Senate Democrats are challenging the creation of the 63rd Senate District. They're in court. I don't know if that's today or not, but they've taken it to the Court of Appeals. Or what's your understanding of this judicial process?
Yes, Bob. And today, the Court of Appeals, the High Court in New York, is hearing their appeal on a defeat that the Senate Democrats had a few weeks ago when the lower courts of the Supreme Court on the creation of the 63rd Senate seat, and the court ruled that it was valid, and it meets the standards and the formulas of the Constitution, and that it was needed. So they want to appeal that decision, and that's where it is today.
Mm-hmm. So they already were rejected at a lower level, you're saying?
Correct, yes.
Because I don't know what judge they're quoting here, but YNN quotes a judge as saying it was disturbing that the Senate's Republican majority used two different formulas to establish voting boundaries in parts of the state. And, well, then they go on to quote critics, who could be anybody, say the lines were unfairly drawn to protect political power.
Well, I do not believe that's the case. When you look at the migration and population shifts of New York, there is a growing migration and more population that's coming up the Hudson Valley and settling into the Capital Region area, and that's important. There's a lot of people that are coming from the city and more downstate area, and you know it is needed. As well as, you know, look, I'm actually glad to see, not just because it gives me the opportunity to run as a candidate, but I'm glad to see that, you know, New York State is looking at the Capital Region as that area of that growth, and that it's needed because we need more representation here in upstate than in New York City and the downstate, because look at the assembly right now. Majority of all members are in the are from New York City, and we constantly see you know, public policy that is good for New York City that may just be good for New York City, which we think is not good for upstate New York. We see you know, more spending, more programs that are for New York City but not for upstate New York, and you know, we need more representation here in upstate New York. For our quality of life, for our demographics, and I'm glad to see that we have one more seat that we can give that representation to.
And the Court of Appeals is holding a hearing today. I mean, this is the state's highest court, kind of like the Supreme Court, right? It's a hot bench. The judges all sit up there and ask questions of lawyers. They don't have a jury or anything, right?
Correct, yes.
Do you,
so we'll be waiting for the decision in D.C., but... you know, again, the lower courts ruled that that it is very valid and that, you know, the seat should be there.
Are you going to go to the hearing, or that's not your department?
No, it's not my department. Look, today I got a busy day. We got, you know, between committee meetings and session and, you know, doing the people's work, I'm proud to be... the public servant of the 105th Assembly District, and you know, I'm fortunate to serve the people throughout Montgomery County and Schenectady County.
Now, again, I don't want to belabor this thing. I guess I am, but when do you expect a Court of Appeals decision, or is that, you know, like with the Supreme Court, just not known whenever they decide?
I believe that it's, you know, it could be today. I think I don't know what the. The whole process of that, I've never been through that type of process.
Right.
So just, you know, be following the events like everyone else.
I was glad to hear you say that the people's business is being conducted, you know, with all this talk about redistricting and the different congressional lines and this new state Senate district, and we have new assembly candidates up here, a lot of politics. But what's going on in terms of governance? What are these meetings you're at today?
Today I got at 9 a.m. agriculture committee meeting that is important, you know, because look, we need to make sure that we have good public policy for our agriculture industry. The number one industry in New York State, we need to continue to foster growth and, you know, and allow our farmers, small businesses to do what they know how to do best, and that is to, you know, farm and milk and harvest and give them the resources that are needed. And those resources is allow them to do what they need to do on their land.
Now, there's a proposal, as I understand it, to change, and I think it's federal regulations on farm workers that would affect the family members, and that we've heard from the folks in the extension service. I guess a lot of the farmers are don't want this, or you know, their children do work on the farm, and there are regulations there should be to protect them. But the farmers are saying, and I'm not exactly sure what the chapter and verse are, that the new regulations are too burdensome.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Look, there's some lawmakers who want to unionize all the farms. You know what a burden that would be upon small businesses and the farmers. It would put out a lot of farmers. You know that farm workers, farm hands. A lot of it is that type of labor and industry. They have a lot of different. It's seasonal, and they get a lot of people that move around, but. You know, to work out in the field or to milk a cow or to just tend the day-to-day operations of the farm. Look, we need good public policy to allow small businesses create the environment to allow them to flourish, not burden them, not create some bureaucracies and more red tape to bog down the flow of small business. That has been the problem New York State for many, many, many years. And, you know, as a business person as I am, I understand the difficulty it is to operate a business. I understand the difficulty that, you know, to get something approved or going through the permitting process or, you know, following all of the various tax and finance requirements. And, you know, in the agriculture industry, we got to look at it this way. You know, those small business owners, what do they know how to do? They know how to produce a product, harvest the crop, or take care of their animals and their livestock. But yet, if they got government breathing down their neck, it takes away from the quality. It takes away from the day-to-day activities. And then if they're not doing what government tells them they got to do, all of a sudden, you got fines. Right. You got penalties. And you got, and then mm-hmm. You're discouraging small businesses.
If I could bring up,
that's not what we want in Albany.
Yeah.
What we want in Albany is we want to create an environment to allow small businesses to grow and create jobs.
If I could bring up another topic, we're talking with Assemblyman George Amador. Seems that one of the big pieces of unfinished business is the matter of unfunded mandates. There was this gentleman who walked through Albany protesting that. I mean, is anything really happening substantive on that subject?
Yes. You know, there was some unfunded mandate relief in the budget that was passed. You know, it wasn't everything that everyone wants. But you know what? It's again a step in the right direction. And you know, we continue to work on some other proposals, and you know, listening to the committee that was formed, an unfunded mandate relief that went around and did about 14 or 17 public hearings, you know, around the state. We are listening, and we're trying to go through their suggestions. I think that when we have a governor who gets it, understands that we need mandate relief in his budget. There was part of the mandate relief with Medicaid of taking on and paying for more of the Medicaid increases to the counties. That's huge for counties because that's part of most of the county budget goes to the Medicaid areas. And you know, those increases that are well over the rate of the tax cap or the tax levy or or rate of inflation. You know, now we're going to have the state pick up those costs. It's going to be phased in, but still, just within a few years from now, they're going to pick up 100% of those increased costs. And that's a big step in the right direction in New York State.
If I could go back to politics one more time, I don't want to get you mad, Adam, unnecessarily, because I'm going on my notoriously faulty memory. But from time to time, we have Jimmy Vielkind on, who's the political writer for the Times Union. And I was asking him about your race, you know, the old horse race mentality that we people in the media love to follow. And I was repeating to him the conventional wisdom, well, this is, you know, this district is kind of set up for George Amador to win. He said, well, maybe. He said, but there are a lot of Democrats down in the, I guess you'd say, the southern end of the district. Do you represent Kingston, or how far does this district go? And is this a concern of yours?
It's not a concern of mine. The district consists of five counties and parts of the five counties. The only two counties that are whole counties is Montgomery County, the entire county, all the townships, municipalities in Montgomery County. In Schenectady County, it comprised of three municipalities plus a small part of the city of Schenectady. In Albany County, it's a majority of all of the rural hill towns of Albany County. It excludes the city of Albany, Bethlehem, and Colony. So it has the whole county of Greene, and then eight municipalities of Ulster County. The county consists of 132 miles from end to end, so from St. Johnsville all the way down to the southern tip of the town of Lloyd in Ulster County. Is the county, you know, is it set up where it's an easy run for myself? No, I don't think it's an easy run for anyone, whether they're Republican or Democrat. And I don't look at it as, you know, a partisan thing. I'm proud to be a Republican because I believe that we need an efficient government, a government that people can afford. But I also, you know, I don't look at it as, well, it's just an easy win for me. I got to work hard, and it's a matter of building the trust in the people because, let's face it, a lot of elected officials have disgraced themselves. A lot of elected officials have done, I believe, a poor job of not building that trust and confidence and not serving the people first. It's more of a self-interest. And I've taken the approach in the assembly that not me as the Republican or Democrat in the assembly seat. It's about me being a public servant, putting forth the ideas and interests of the constituents of the 105th Assembly District. That's who I represent, everyone in that district. And I will do the same in this 46th Senate district. And whether they're Democrat or Republican, that doesn't matter. In the assembly seat, I have won the assembly seat 4.5 years ago because it is very Democrat in enrollment. But yet the people saw that we need business-minded people in Albany because of career politicians just going about their business and continuing to spend money that we don't have.
Assemblyman George Amador, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it.
Take care.